I call your attention this morning to the screen as I'll be reading the passage of Scripture, beginning in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you: God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, He will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. May we pray together, please. Our God, it is indeed a privilege to be in this Your house on this very special day. Over the centuries and over the generations, You sent prophets, You sent judges, You sent messengers to share of Your love and of Your salvation, until finally it was apparent that You would send Your Son. And that is what we come to celebrate today. It is my prayer that Your Holy Spirit will be the speaker. It is my prayer that Your word will be the curriculum, and that we, Your servants, will truly worship the coming of our King. And in Your precious name we pray. Amen. I've entitled my message, "'Twas the Light of Christmas." It is a play on the very familiar title, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," in which this poem that we are very familiar with describes the emotions and all of the events of this particular family as they await the coming of Santa Claus. Well, it's very much the same way for the nation of Israel. For generations, for decades, for centuries, they awaited the coming of the Promised One. There was one given that was to be called the Messiah, and they waited. But it is amazing to me how there is always a difference in perspective. For see, the nation of Israel had hoped that their time of agitation, their time of disillusionment, their time of oppression would soon be over, for God was going to send a military leader, a deliverer, one that would lead them to freedom. But God chose rather to use a teenage girl, to use an ordinary man who was a carpenter by trade. He chose to use angels and shepherds and wise men. But then He chose to use the most fragile and the most frail, the neediest, the most innocent, and the helplessness of a baby. To think God chose a baby to be born to usher in the age of salvation. To think that indeed this morning, as you and I have gathered, that Christ is the only one who can bring true light to a darkened, lost world. In the passage of Scripture we just read, you can see how the world had been in darkness for many generations. You can see how there was much difficulty in the hearts and lives of the people. It was a bleak, very darkened time. Governmentally, it was a time of oppression. It was a time where there was no freedom, there was no independence, there was no self-rule. They were under the thumb of Rome. Spiritually, it was a time of brokenness. It was a time of complacency and weakness. And it was even a time of sacrilege, as the very temple they worshiped in had been desecrated just years before. No wonder this particular time is described as a time of darkness. There was no zeal, there was no enthusiasm, there was no looking to God. Matter of fact, His name was not even spoken. There was not a word for some 400 years. Societally, it was a time of sorrow. It was a time of great depression, a time of disillusionment, a time of confusion, a time of fear. And then individually, a time of hopelessness, a time of insecurity, a time of dread. There was no anticipation of joy. There was much ignorance and much misunderstanding. Matter of fact, the Scripture says they were living in darkness. Some of the translations say they were sitting in darkness. This had become their way of life. This had become the norm. Life was static, it was boring, it was entrenched. They lived their life in darkness. Sounds very much like today, doesn't it? If we were to compare the time of Christ's arrival to today, they're very, very similar. So the question for us as we gather on Christmas morning is this: will I worship the coming of Christ? Will it be an enthusiastic time for me? Will it be an exciting time for me? Will it be a worshipful time for me? Or will it be just another holiday? For see, soon we're going to take down our trees. Jill's going to make me get on the ladder and take the lights down off the house. One day very soon we're going to remove the Advent candles and all of the decorum. And we're going to move into a new year. And as we move into a new year, will the Christ child be born? Or will it just be January and February as usual? A time of great darkness. But the good news is this, is that the light has come. The Christmas story is full of references of light. We sing Silent Night, Holy Night. The phrase that simply says, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. We hear from the hymn, Hark the herald angels sing, the phrase, Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. From the dear carol, break forth, O beauteous, lovely, heavenly light. Break forth, O beauteous heavenly light, and usher in the morning. Jesus, later in his ministry, simply said this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In the passage of Scripture we read earlier from 1 John 1 and 5, then this is the message we have heard from him, and we declare unto you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So I propose to you that there is but one true source of light. In the book of John, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we read these words, In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not understand it. Throughout time, there have been many imposters. There have been many pretenders. There have been many want-to-bes. There have been many who have claimed to be the Messiah. There have been many saviors of the world throughout all of history. But indeed, there is only one Christ child. There is only one true source of life. The babe in Bethlehem is indeed the light of the world. This small, innocent baby came to bring light to the world. Governmentally, came to establish a new kingdom where he would reign with his church for all of eternity. Spiritually, Christ came to provide salvation for the lost, healing for the brokenhearted, and purpose and strength for those who were complacent and weak. The true church, triumphant to be revealed. Societally, light came to comfort sorrow. Light came to give hope during the Great Depression. Light came to give direction during the time of disillusionment and to give peace during a time of confusion and fear. And then we're able to look at things individually. Today, the light has come to bring hope. Today, the light has come to bring peace. And God, seeing our greatest need, that of a Savior, after all of the judges and all of the prophets and all of the messengers over time, He said, Certainly, they will hear my child. It is one thing to live in a darkened world. It is something else to receive the light of the world. But it is entirely another matter when Jesus meets with his disciples and he shares with 12 men and he gives them these instructions. You are the light of the world. In our neighborhood where Jill and I live, there's an undeclared war of the decorations. We live in probably the most subdued or the most conservative of all those decorations. The house to our left has probably 3 to 4 inflatables, and every square inch of the outside of their home is decorated. The home to our right has probably 7 or 8 inflatables. There's one that's a snowman, one that's Santa Claus, one that is the Minions from the Despicable Me movies. The house across the street has several inflatables and several Christmas lights. But there's only one agreement among all of the neighbors. All lights off at 8:30 p.m. That's so all the children around us will be able to go to bed. But I share that with you to let you know those lights are put up each year for the sole purpose of being seen. They're put up for the sole purpose of making it pleasant for the children. They're put up for the sole purpose of having neighbors drive by and seeing them each year. Christ says, ye are the light of the world. If I may be so bold today, you are an inflatable, or you are a light on the home. You are the light of the world. I can see over the Christmas time, you were possibly in the mall, or you were possibly at a restaurant, or whatever case may be. You were the light of the world. You reflected and you showed the light of the Christ child. Jill has been working on a cross stitch for me for the last 6 months. And she just finished it. We had arrived from Houston at MD Anderson and had that Saturday, and it's a beautiful cross stitch of a lighthouse. Thank you. And it happens to have my favorite verse of Scripture at the top, which simply comes from the book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. And it just simply says this: the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and the Lord knoweth those who trust in Him. So we went that Saturday to Joann's to inquire of having it framed. And in the process of looking for matting and looking for framing and what have you, the lady behind the counter stopped, and she read the passage of Scripture at the top. Now, this is the Saturday before Christmas. She had seen many people over the course of the day, and she said, I needed that. I want you to be reminded that while we celebrate the light of the world, never forget you are the light of the world. Wherever you find yourself, whatever circumstance you may be in, we are God's reflection to a lost and darkened world. In a few moments, we're going to stand and sing two songs. And the last song we're going to sing is "This Little Light of Mine." Now, I know that that's not traditionally a Christmas song, but in reality, it is a Christmas song. "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." One of the first songs I ever learned. You know, you hold it up. I'm not going to put it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. During this Christmas season, we celebrate the light of the world. And Christ tells each one of us, "You are the light of the world."